Hello, and welcome to Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art, Wes, and Lacey as they have a conversation on Evergreen's Pinecone Podcast. So, after a brief hiatus due to some things we'll maybe start talking about here in a little bit, we are back with a podcast. Hopefully our listeners missed us somewhat. Do you think they did, Lacey?
I think they did.
So, hopefully we are here. I'm here. We're in our remote studio today for our podcast. And we have a couple special guests, which we want to introduce in a second. I will say, Wes is not with us today. He was, as most people know, on a sabbatical, mm-hmm. and he is back, and we're glad to have him back from sabbatical, but we let him have a vacation day today,
I guess.
That's not quite true.
Well, he's been doing a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah.
With virtual church.
Virtual church. So speaking of virtual church, we don't have them virtually here with us. Actually, here in our socially distanced studio, we have Alyssa Hampton and Daniel Hampton.
Hello.
Hey guys, how are you all?
Hi.
Doing good.
Doing great.
So Daniel is the youth pastor at Providence Baptist Church.
That's right.
In Seymour, right?
Seymour, yeah. It's like right on the Seymour Maryville kind of line, but pretty much Seymour. So.
Yeah. And then if you haven't guessed out there yet, Alyssa's his wife.
Yes, I am. And I'm your daughter.
She knows you a little bit, yeah, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. She is my daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's not what got them on the...
All nepotism here.
On the path. Yes. So how have you all been with this coronavirus? That's why we've kind of been away from our podcast for a while. How have you all been doing through this?
Well, I mean, we take it seriously, and, you know, part of it, you know, is concerning, obviously, but we have enjoyed the side product of it, which is being able to have extra time at home with family and stuff, and with our daughter, who's about to turn one, so we get to have that extra time at home with her. We've really cherished that time, so we're trying to look on the positive sides of it.
We also painted our entire house.
We did, so yeah. I've been doing nonstop projects.
I've made a honey-do list.
Yes.
I think everybody's house has been improved through this whole thing.
My neighborhood looks great. Everybody's got fresh mulch. It's awesome.
I know. It's great. How about you, Lacey? I don't want to leave you out.
We're good. Honestly, not a ton changed for us. We were already homeschooling, and Ben's job was considered essential, so he's still been going to work. So we're just praying that God keeps sustaining us.
That's good. Yeah, for me, I actually had been working from home for the past three years. So in some ways, this has been better because I've had my kids at home. Mm. So I haven't been at home alone. So it's kind of a quirk in that for me. So you said something about a daughter. That would be my granddaughter. We got to throw that out there. She has y'all have been mentioned on our podcast before. Mm-hmm. Actually, of course,
we're already famous with everything.
She is. Yeah. So our loyal listener who's already upset because Wes isn't on here.
We love you, Muriel.
So Leia is her name. And how old is she? Do I not know?
She'll be one on the 7th of May.
Very good. It's about
preparing a pretty serious Minnie Mouse themed birthday party. She loves
quarantine.
Minnie Mouse.
Quarantine, right.
Just with close family.
Right.
Just with close family. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. She's a big Mickey Mouse Clubhouse fan. So
you know, I'm going to be the typical grandparent. Isn't it about time for another one?
Well, yeah, actually it is.
We're going to have another one in December.
No way! Wow, are you serious?
Art just found out.
He had no idea. And the Oscar goes too.
Just kidding.
Wow, that is awesome. That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited.
Congratulations to you.
Yes, wow.
Yes, congratulations to you. Yes.
Okay, I was wondering that mm-hmm. a little bit. So, what we really wanted to have you all on here, I know the coronavirus is on everybody's mind still. It obviously we could have unlimited podcasts on that topic, and there already are, no doubt, unlimited. But let's just set that aside for a little while, and let's talk about. I want our listeners to get to know you all, and to get to know because you all are new in ministry. You've been married for how long?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. Almost a 1 year old. And Daniel, how long have you been? Tell us a little about yourself, about your ministry.
I have received a call to ministry when I was about 13 years old. I think I was in like 7th or 8th grade. And I just felt a call from God that my life should be about more than just trying to, you know, climb a corporate ladder or just try to make more money. I wanted it to be about things that would last eternally. So I started to set my whole life trajectory on ministry, whatever form that would take. You know, I didn't know what that meant when I received that call or said yes to it. And I still don't know all that it entails. I'm just kind of taking it as I go. And then after I graduated high school, I started going to Liberty and Liberty University Online. And I got my undergrad in Christian ministries. And then now I have my, I'm in about 2 weeks, I will have my Master's of Divinity. So it's been like 7-8 years of nonstop school, and I'm ready to
awesome.
Be done.
That is awesome. Congratulations
Great
on
job.
That.
Thanks yeah.
you. And how long have you been at Providence?
I've been at a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was at another church before that for a little over a year mm-hmm. as well. So, yeah.
And you're currently doing youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you did at the first?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a youth pastor at both places. I don't know if youth ministry is what I'm going to do for my entire ministry, but right now I feel like God's gifted me being a little bit younger. God's gifted me to be able to relate really well to the kids because we have a lot of the same interests. So I feel like that's where God's pushed me right now. Whether I stay there, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to be open to whatever He leads. But
right. What about you, Alyssa? How did you end up in this?
Well, oddly enough, when I was a sophomore or junior, I accepted a call to ministry, but I didn't really know what that meant, what that looked like, if it was missions or whatever. And I went on mission trips and all kinds of different stuff, and then this dorky little guy came around, and
I'm assuming that was you.
Yeah. We started talking, and when we started dating, that was one of our first conversations about ministry, and I realized rather quickly that God was calling me to be a pastor's wife. And so throughout our ministry, I'm kind of just there to help in whatever way I can.
She does most of the work. I speak. Yeah. She does most of the behind-the-scenes work. I'd be lost without her, that's for sure.
But it's definitely been interesting learning the different in and outs of being a pastor's wife. And then we kind of got we knew what we were doing. And then we had Leia, so it kind of changed things. But it's been great still. We just kind of drag her along. She doesn't really have a choice. And she does great. She's with us for our different ministry, different services and all that kind of stuff. So we just bring her right along with us.
So really, Leia could say she received a call to ministry
yeah.
from the time she was born.
She was
born conceived. Yeah.
Awesome.
So what's it like being, maybe I'm wrong, are you the youngest? The youngest on the staff at your church?
Youngest ordained staff. Yeah, the college guys are younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. But
what's it like? What's it like being the young guy?
It's interesting. It helps because my pastor, Gabe Brown, he's very, he used to be a youth pastor. He started as a youth pastor. This is his first church, the first time being a senior pastor. Yeah. So it helps that we see a lot of things the same way. Like some pastors who've never been in youth ministry before, they kind of don't, I don't want to say they don't value, you know, youth ministry, because of course I believe most of them do, but when you have one that's been in multiple ministry aspects, it's good to have him there, because I know he's always has my back, because he's been through all the stuff that I'm going through, all the little challenges and bumps along the way, he's been through them as well, so he can kind of point things out and say, hey, you don't have to do things the way I did them, but just so you know, this is how I did it, and you don't have to do it that way, but he's always good about that. He's never pushing the stuff that he did on us, but he's going, hey, look, you might find this problem if you do this, because I experienced this, so it's nice to have that extra added perspective of someone who's been there before.
So he's been a really good mentor
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, he's been a big help, yeah. It's definitely not like, oh, hey, you're on your own, good luck, figure it out. it's definitely not like that, so, because when we... when we joined, when they hired us, the youth and the college were kind of meshed together out of necessity. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of our job to help separate that for you know, obvious reasons. It's important for youth to be able to grow on their own and college mm-hmm. to grow on their own. You teach them differently. So we were kind of like hitting the reset button on the youth ministry when we went there. So we're trying to, you know, put us, you know, we were trying to kind of reshift everything. He's been really great to lead us along and give us advice in that.
What did you do to start developing your the program for your youth? It sounds like you started from scratch.
We didn't necessarily start from scratch.
Okay.
Not completely.
One thing that Gabe kind of actually led us in the direction of was to rename the group, like kind of start fresh with our own idea. And so we Googled youth names because we were like, what
bad,
do we name our youth group?
There are some bad youth group right. names yeah. out there, by the way. If you want to entertain yourself, Google some. Yeah, it's some good stuff.
Yeah. And so we started looking, and the song by Rim Collective, My Lighthouse, that song like really has been, we've loved that song ever since it came out. And so that kind of is what kind of was in our minds. And so, that's what we went with. Yeah. We went with Lighthouse and being a light on the hill, and letting our kids be the light to the world. And I think that kind of has really just kind of kick-started what we wanted to do, and the kids were totally on board from the minute we showed it to them and talked to them about it. And that's, they've really taken that theme kind of even on their own to do that.
Because the important thing about that is, you know, it's not just, oh, let's get a new cool logo and let's, you know, pick a new theme verse. It's, you know, it's let's get a new mindset. Let's get a mindset mm-hmm. that it's not about us. Let's get a mindset that we're here to serve and to be the light, you know, everywhere we go. And, you know, when you think of a lighthouse, you know, you think of a ship out in the darkness on the rocky waves, you know, they lost, they need help, and they can look and they see a lighthouse, and that lighthouse is what directs them to safety. And we want our kids to act as, you know, a lighthouse, to shine their light, to bring them to where they can find safety, and that's, of course, in Christ. So,
I think that's awesome. And so, especially to be like a lighthouse within your church and within their congregation, not just at school. Because a lot of times it seems like youth ministry becomes, the youth will do that. You know, the leaves need to be raked, parking lot needs to be cleaned. Well, let's get the youth to do it. You know, just toss them the job nobody wants. Mm-hmm. And I like that you all are like seeing themselves as more important. Not that those things aren't important.
Right.
Yeah.
But to take a step beyond that. You know.
And one of the things that's been made clear in some of my studies at Liberty is that, you know, there's different approaches to youth ministry. You can treat them kind of like, you know, sometimes youth ministries can operate unhealthily when they operate as basically like their own church inside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you yeah. want to avoid that because, you know, you don't want to ever treat youth like they're the church of tomorrow because they're not. If they're saved, they're the church of today. You need to treat them that way. Otherwise, they will try to, like, regress back into their own youth groups or their own friend groups when you want them to be an integral part of not just the youth group but the whole church. And I think that's important to make sure the youth feel like they are important to the whole church, not just to their youth group.
Yeah. I think that's also a really important, I don't know how you guys do it, but I love that we include our youth and our kids in our service, that they know that they are a part of the church. The adults aren't worshiping separately from them, that they are a part of the church. Because I've read that that's a lot of the reason kids will leave the church, because they grow up and they graduate from college and they're like, well, I never really was a part of this anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have a hard time integrating back into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys found that or how?
I would agree with that. Do you have a...
I mean, I think even from... maybe not necessarily our youth group at Providence, but even as growing up as youth, we saw that a lot. If people didn't feel like they were a part of the ministry or a part of what we were doing, I mean, they would go off to college or go somewhere else and they wouldn't search for that because they didn't really maybe even know what to look for or what was good or what could be good if they invested time in it.
Yeah, and we, like at Providence, any age is welcome to stay in the service. The kids, was it fifth grade and under?
I think so.
Can have the option to go to children's church if they want to, but they're not forced to. All kids can be in the service if they want to. And then also the youth are obviously all in there. And then on the fifth Sunday, we always do Youth Sunday, which is Youth Sunday night, which I'll speak and the kids will lead in music. The youth band will lead in music and we try to do skits or something like that. And we were supposed to have one the last fifth Sunday, but obviously for obviously that got altered. But one of our girls wanted to share her testimony, so we'll let if people want to say say something in front of the church, we let them, the kids. So we really enjoy integrating them into letting them lead a service every couple months. So.
Well, and I will say, like, I've never seen it a church before. I mean, not that we've been to a gazillion churches, but our elderlies, we call them the VIPs. they're very important people. They are phenomenal with the youth. They're so supportive and making sure that we have what we need for them or that they have what they need. One of our ladies prints pictures off of our trips and gives them to the kids. I mean, there's so many different ways that they support the kids, and they know that. They feel it. And they love to give back when we go and do a VIP luncheon for them or something like that. And so I've really never seen that much of a just connection. That predates us. That was already there and formed before we even came.
That's a neat intergenerational church that they're really, really working together and supporting each other. That's neat. It's kind of the other thing I like about your lighthouse theme is that kids are able to then also be like, I was listening to that song by Ren Collective and I was thinking, you know what? I don't often allow God to be my lighthouse, to remind me who I am. Especially with, if I'm struggling with my own thoughts or just some, I don't know about you guys, but being stuck in my house all the time leads to a little bit of depression sometimes. But then just going back and allowing God to remind me who I am. And I think that's so important for today's youth, is just to be reminded who they are, who they belong to. And so I really love that about your lighthouse name, that it is just like a good reminder.
That's pretty cool. So we're not going to make it about the coronavirus. Someone said that. but
sorry,
but no, but I mean, we obviously conversations just naturally just come back around to that. So Daniel, how are you making that work in your church for your particularly for you?
Yeah. But, I'd be lying if I said that, it was, it's ideal, obviously. We've been doing an Instagram live every on Thursdays. Yeah. That's been going pretty good, but, I don't think, obviously we have to do it this way right now, but I don't think the relationships that we've built with the kids, we were able to maintain those through text and, messaging them, but it's, I don't think there's really a good substitute for,
in person,
being able to talk to them, and we're doing the best we can, to do it, but, if it just really goes to show the importance of the church, I think, and going to, attending your local church and being a part of a church body, because, just people that say, oh, I'll just listen to someone online or, and that's their only view of church. I just think I think what this coronavirus has really shown is the fact that we all need the church, and especially, the youth who are in, some of their most impressionable parts of their lives. They're still becoming the people that they're going to be. They haven't, none of us have arrived, but during those, 6 years or so, they're going to transition so much. And as much as they can be in church during that time, the better. And so to, I enjoy being able to still talk to them, and I enjoy the Instagram lives. We started a new thing. It was really just me doing it. And it was becoming like, I felt like a YouTube content creator. And I was like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I want to be. So, I started screen sharing and letting some of the kids come in and lead in, start open us in worship, drinking a different kid to open us in worship each week. Cause on Instagram, you can just request them to join in and they can just pop in and then everybody can see them.
Right.
And then, so we've been doing that. And then, the person who leads our youth, he's been coming in to do he does one song on there for us. And, I think kind of getting back to that sense of normalcy, making it about not just me, but also sharing, letting other people share is important because...
And can the kids interact with you?
Yeah, they can comment on stuff. Like I have been doing some games and stuff, doing some trivia and stuff, and they were commenting. And I might do that again on some because I want them to feel like they're a part of it. They're not watching something. You know, they can watch. If they want to really watch someone speak, they can find someone better than me to do it, if that was their goal, you know. But they want to, you know, they want to be a part of something. You know, it's always been a goal of mine when I've laid out our goals for our youth ministry, no matter where we've been, is that I want them to feel like they are, the church, the youth group isn't somewhere they go, it's something they're a part of. I think that's an important distinction to have. You know, we want them to take ownership of it. You know, when we remodeled our youth room, it would have been much easier, actually, if we'd done it by ourselves. Some of them aren't exactly the best painters, but that's okay, because, you know, if they are able to put the work in with their bare hands and do it, and then to, you know, come in, it feels like they take ownership of it, you know, and that's not what we want. We don't want it to be about us. You know, obviously, we have no plans to leave there, but, you know, eventually, if someday God calls me somewhere else, you know, I don't want them to lose everything just because I'm not there. I want to work to replace us. You know, we want to work to the fact that we are not essential. You know, God, Jesus should be the only person who's essential in the ministry. So that's what we would like to work towards.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Lacey.
I was just curious how you guys, as a family, are, like, how do you work really hard at keeping your marriage solid? Because I know that's really important in ministry. And then also, like, how do you plan on discipling your own kids?
Well, some people would call us crazy. We work together in the same place on the same days. And then we're at home together. Most, like you said, we didn't really change. Some people are like, have you killed Daniel yet? I'm like, this isn't any different, really, than what we were doing. We're just not going to work. And so in that aspect of it, I think that actually kind of makes our marriage stronger. We know when we need to be separate, if we're in separate rooms, or if I go down to my sister's house, she lives in the same neighborhood, or his sister's house. You know, we know when that time is, we get that. But one thing that our, marriage counselor told us is he said, never just start yelling at each other and that kind of thing. So we'll all, like, if we get frustrated at each other, we're like, you go do your thing, I'm going to go do mine, then we'll talk about this later. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just something we started at the beginning, even before we got married, you know, in our relationship. And so that's, you know, those things have helped to make our marriage strong. And we do our Bible study together, or a Bible study together, which when Leia was first born, that kind of went a little crazy from not sleeping. But we actually, our coronavirus time has really made it to where we can get back to that in a more solid, consistent time. And so that, just centering around that and centering around God's word is something that we definitely strive to do.
And, you know, as for discipling Leia and our next baby, our next 1 to 5 babies that you may be carrying. We don't know how many there are.
Are you just finding out that part of it? Yeah. 1 to 5?
Yeah. You know, as for discipling them, you know, we've been praying since before Leia was born, you know, that God would give us the wisdom to lead us, to be able to lead her to Him, and that she would, you know, find salvation in Him one day. And we've been praying for that since before she was born, and now we've been praying it, you know, now that she's about a year old, and we're going to keep praying it. But obviously she's not exactly ready for Bible study quite yet, but once she is, I would like to start like a family Bible study or something like that, to do, you know, at least a couple days a week or so, and then probably want to start her on some Veggie Tales.
No, what's in the Bible? Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
What's in the Bible? One. Phil Vischer's. It's his new... We talked about it on the podcast before, but
we'll have to look it up.
Phil Vischer is the VeggieTales guy. Look it up, people. What's in the Bible? It's awesome.
We'll have to look it up. There we go. It's good advice.
Endorsed by
Lacey. Yeah.
So you have some sponsorships
that's
on this.
That's really all you need. Impressive. Yeah.
Well, you know, there it is. Well, speaking of sponsorships, don't forget to check out WesWhite.net.
There you go. There's your plug, Wes.
We always plug that. And, of course, Evergreen Church, evergreentn.com, where you can find out about Evergreen Church. And how do we find out about Providence Baptist?
This is exciting news, actually.
If you go to the website that's newly redone by me.
just took over our website.
PMBC Seymour, Providence Missionary Baptist Church, Seymour.org. And we also have a Facebook page, Providence Missionary Baptist Church.
Facebook Lives have been for our services and stuff like that.
Are you connecting your Instagram, and is it also on Facebook?
No, our youth Instagram is PMBC Lighthouse. Yeah, PMBC Lighthouse. That's our Instagram page, yeah. That's just for the youth. But then the church-wide services are on the Facebook page. Did you know that young people do not use Facebook? So
I've learned that. And you, actually, you were the one that told me that, and you were so right. If you want to reach the parents, it's Facebook. If you want to reach the youth, it's Instagram.
And that's something that's important that I've learned. It's important. You gotta, like, I would rather use Twitter, but none of the kids use Twitter. No one younger than me uses Twitter. And so it's very, you know, you gotta do what they use.
Polarizing social media platforms.
You gotta go where they're at, and where they're at is Instagram and Snapchat. Mm-hmm. That is where they're at.
They obviously have not learned that you can trust everything you hear on Facebook.
That's true.
If they knew the news, I mean, that's where I get all my news. That's where I get all my stuff about.
Dude, that's where I get all my anxiety.
Where I get all my political opinions.
All my anxiety comes from Facebook.
As far as the ultimate sources of truth go, it's like the Bible, and then just right behind that, it's Facebook, right?
And
that's pretty much how it goes.
We are being super sarcastic, just in case. Except the anxiety thing. Facebook gives me anxiety. I need to stay off of it.
I can see how it might. Facebook. Yeah, it's you really have to really think of the far reaching thoughts of Abraham Lincoln, because it was him that said the problem with Facebook is people can quote whoever they want to.
It's true.
And you can't prove who said it
or the context that they've said it in.
That's very true.
So it was interesting that he would have thought of that.
Yeah, he has a lot of forethought.
So this is now the Pinecone train wreck instead of the podcast. So both of you, what is this is kind of putting you on the spot in a way. In some ways.
Can't nose goes.
But what's a scripture that you've kind of, particularly in this time of the coronavirus, but not necessarily, just a scripture that you've kind of clung to or thought of or has been meant something to you?
That's lately. One thing, one passage. I think it was maybe the first Instagram live that I did after all this started. The first Instagram live that I had to do. You know, I was sitting there and I had to think about, like, you know, what do these kids need to hear? And you know, I kept getting pulled back to the passage. I'm blanking on the numbers, but it's where Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome this world. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really powerful statement, that no matter how crazy things get, no matter what is going on, we can take heart because, you know, he's already overcome this world. You know, we don't have to worry about anything in this world because he's got it. And we have eternal hope and eternal security that goes far beyond our present circumstances.
That's so very good. Alyssa's staring at me like, don't ask me.
Well, I'm not very good with scripture number and place memorization. I think one thing I've clung to, though, is the different worship music that we do have at our disposal, and just listening to the different songs and singing them and knowing that they're scripture-based and knowing that those different things are so true in the songs, maybe even more true now than before to me. I told Daniel a couple weeks ago, we went to Passion 2020. We got to ring in the new year with how many? I don't even know.
60,000, 70,000.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we got to do that as a family. We took Leia.
Slept through it. It was great.
She slept through the ringing in the new year.
She slept through ringing the new year with Hillsong. It was great.
Yeah. But those songs were cool, like at Passion, to hear. But that's like the album. It's, you know, Roaring Like a Lion and Roaring God's Voice. And that's something that I've really clung to, especially if Daniel's like mowing the grass or something like that, or out, I can just worship God through those songs, and through those different things and truly mean them, not just saying them because it sounds cool or saying them because that's what's on the screen or that's what you're supposed to say. But really just in prayer and then and in the different scriptures that are in those songs through that.
When in our church, on every one of our live streams, they've ended it with Because He Lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that song has such a powerful message. You know, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how bad it gets, you know, because of what Jesus has done, because he lives, He's still living, we can face no matter what. And we've sang that as kind of like our church's rallying cry. And I think that's a good thing to dwell on. It's the fact that because He lives, no matter how crazy all this gets, we can cling to that.
Yeah. Don't cling to Facebook.
No.
I do not advise that, no.
Is there a verse that you have?
Yeah, we'll put you on the spot.
Nobody ever asks me questions.
I just
so
did.
I don't really have Thank to worry. Mm-hmm. I don't really have to worry about it. I copied Daniel on the Instagram live thing for our youth.
He did.
Okay.
And I ignored when they would ask me.
We copied you on the music, though. The music was your idea. Yeah.
Kind of off of each other. You know, I don't know that... I'm going to kind of cop out with, like, my daughter. She probably got it from me with the scripture thing. But not a lot of people saw the Instagram thing. You all did,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Did you, Lacey?
No, I'm sorry.
Of course not. Even though she has someone who's old enough to be a youth, probably.
He's not old enough to be a youth.
I'm kidding. Our editors will take that out. Don't worry about it. Our producer, even now, is probably taking that out. Mm.
We're going don't.
But in our first, I'm going to copy Daniel too. I'm getting that from all. But in our first Instagram live, I talked about being a child of God. And so I'm going to throw this with Alyssa since she's sitting here across from me. And in that, I told a story about the day that she was born. And I won't go into maybe as much detail here as I probably did on the video. But, you know, just as you know, Lacey, you have three great little great boys. And Alyssa and Daniel, yeah, maybe, you know, you anticipate them for a long time. And if you know the gender, you know their name and everything like that. And of course, in scripture, we're told that, you know, God knit you together in your mother's womb and knew you beforehand. But I just think about when Alyssa was born, there were some complications with her birth and nothing major, nothing that seemed that dangerous maybe mm-hmm. at the time, but there was some stress with the doctors and some uncertainty. And so as a result of that, we weren't able like to quote unquote see her like as, immediately perhaps, but as soon as she was born, I can remember the doctor, there was a table kind of over probably just a couple feet away. And there were lots of nurses that all gathered around. And I can still remember him saying, okay, I'm getting ready to bring her over. Over to, and actually we didn't know if, I don't think if it was a boy or girl. So bring the baby over, over to you. So anybody that gets in the way, I'm going to knock you down. You know, and it was at that moment I saw he was under a lot of duress or stress. The doctor was worried. So he took her. He delivered the baby. Took her over there, and after what seemed like forever was probably less than a minute. The nurse just came over, and I could still see her setting the baby in her mother's arms, and I could still see her just kind of pulling her close, and saying, of course by then they had told us it was a girl, and her saying, "Hey, Alyssa," and it's just. And you know, how are you? And I just think about that moment when she just said, "Hey, Alyssa," that, you know, it had been Alyssa all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about us as being a child of God and how God does the same thing. And, you know, and I kind of related it when I was talking to the youth of the moment that we're born again. But it could also be the moment we're born that God places... Mm-hmm. Places us in Jesus' arms, and Jesus is like, "Hey, Alyssa, you know, mm-hmm. hey, Lacey, hey, Daniel, hey, Art." So that's kind of one thing that is that I've thought about a lot through the coronavirus, is that you were a child of God. And that's what's important. It's not important whether you're on which side of the political argument or whether you're on which side of should we or shouldn't we be quarantining, but that you're a child of God. And just like Daniel said, that hope that he offers you. And when you were talking, Daniel, about raising up Leah to believe in Jesus as their Savior, and at that moment that you know, now she's a child of God, but then she'll be a born again child of God, and just we look forward to that day.
Mm-hmm.
So
we just got real deep. I liked it. Good job, Art.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
They're going to start asking you more questions.
You asked them the questions. I know. So you actually get all the credit.
Yes.
Yeah. So she gets the credit. Lacey always gets the credit.
I always get the credit.
You get all the blame, she gets all the credit.
Yes.
Yes.
I like it.
As soon as she became the third host of Pinecone Podcast, our numbers went up. Our ratings went up, and it's just been great.
Yeah, sponsors now. It's yeah. Crazy.
What's in the Bible? WesWhite.net.
I don't know that we have. WesWhite.net. That is.
Yeah. He should be paying us.
That's usually how it works. Yeah.
Well, guys, anyway. I appreciate you all coming and talking with us today. It was fun.
I had to clear my busy schedule, but we were able to do it.
Yes, so. It was.
Yeah. He had to pause painting the living room.
Yeah.
For real.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And again, check out evergreentn.com and
pmbcseymour.org.
Seymour, one word, Seymour. You spell out
yes.
Seymour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Providence Missionary Baptist Church, and you can get it.
You'll find it.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, Lacey.
Thank you.
For being here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
Stay
God bless
well.
You. Yeah. Have a nice day.